Good morning and greetings in Jesus' precious name. Been a blessing to be here. Not being here last Sunday, it seems like a long time. You know, you miss your brothers and sisters in Christ when you are not able to fellowship with them on a regular basis. We welcome you to this service, welcome you to listen in. As a preacher, I often have different things brewing on in my heart and mind of what to preach on and praying about it. And God led me to a sermon this morning, and I haven't preached this particular sermon here, but I may have preached something that has some similarities. But God led me to preach on having the importance of having godly fear. The message title is Maintaining a Healthy Fear of the Lord. And this is very foundational to Christian living. As we live in this evil generation, we observe many people and the conclusions they come to and the decisions they make, and you wonder, where's their fear of God? Don't they read the Word? Don't they have any concept of God? But that's out there somewhere. And I want to bring it closer. And we got to ask ourselves the question, do we really have the fear of the Lord in our hearts? And what is the fear of God? What is the fear of the Lord? You know, it's very important, because every person that's born into this world has a soul. And our soul, we either spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, our Lord, or in damnation in hell. And that's how serious this message is this morning, because I believe that the fear of the Lord is foundational to the choices that we make and where we end in eternity. Romans 3, you can open your Bibles there, and it talks about here the state of man. And sometimes we forget about our state, and we forget about our need of a Savior and our need of our Lord on a daily basis. Romans 3, verse 10, says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. And the poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And we read that, and we probably have some people in our minds, maybe as we observe people as they live. But I want to remind you that he's talking about us as a human race. This is us without Jesus. And it's important that we understand. And I was thinking about that as we were studying the Sunday school lesson. And basically what we have is God wrote the life story of Samson. And I have to ask myself the question this morning, if God were to write my life story from my birth to what I am today, and we would study that in Sunday school, just put yourself there. And that's why it's important that we look at developing a healthy fear of the Lord, because it makes a difference in our choices, how we live. And this applies to all ages. It applies to young people, middle-aged grandpas. You know, in Luke 23, just a reminder again how we can be so deceived as we look and categorize people and their lives and sin and so on. But there was three people hanging on the cross, two thieves and Jesus. And I just want to remind you what one of the thieves said, and one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Isn't it so easy for us to... And the reason I'm thinking about this is I talk with a number of customers throughout the week at times, and some of our customers are really getting alarmed at what's happening in politics and some of the decisions that are being made, and suddenly they're really talking very boldly about these things. But I have to think about, you know what? Unless you're a Christian and you're saved, you're all in the same category, whether you're making those decisions or not. And I told one man, I said, you know, what's really important is that we read the Bible. That we read the Bible. This is what helps us develop concepts and values in life. And so this morning, I want to help us to develop a healthy fear of God. We're not born with a proper fear of God. It's not something that we inherit in our homes. Yes, parents, we can help our children have awareness of God and have a, and we train them and we teach them and we discipline them. We read Bible stories and we just pour a lot of energy into trying to help them have a proper concept of God. But finally, they still need to come to the age that they develop a healthy fear of God. Or they will make choices that are directly against God. Godly home does not impact or does not impart godly fear in somebody's heart. It's a choice that every one of us need to make. Psalm 34:11 says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." God desires to teach us this godly fear, to have a proper fear. God has made an investment in mankind. He's given his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. An awesome investment, and he desires to teach us his fear, to have a godly fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I just want to look at a few psalms where it talks about the fear of God. The fear of God can be something that's a bit difficult to understand, and sometimes we have a misunderstanding, and I want to illustrate that later on in the message with the scale I have. But we want to look at a few verses first. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." And basically what he's telling us that wisdom is a result of godly fear. If you're a person this morning and you have a reverence and a godly fear and you understand what God desires of you and you have a balanced fear of God, you will have a person that has wisdom and understanding. He will be a person that makes right decisions in life. He will be a person that is dependable, a person that you can count on. You need to have that godly fear. Things that make sense. The lack of godly fear leads to a lifestyle that doesn't even fit with nature. When there's a lack of godly fear, it doesn't even fit with nature, what God has already created. But when we obey God, he gives us wisdom, good understanding. And we know his commandments. And then we bring glory and honor and praise to God. Going to Psalm 112, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." You know, when you have a godly fear, a proper godly fear in your life and your experience, you actually delight in God's commandments. You delight in God's laws because you know that he's delivering you. You see, Samson didn't follow God's laws and he was in bondage. And we could have many Bible stories we could read this morning that tell us that. But when we follow God's commandments and we have a godly fear, we love his commandments because it gives us freedom. And joy and purpose in living for him, they're not hard commandments or difficult commandments. Going to Proverbs 8, verse 13. He says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and a froward mouth do I hate." Just talking about how you have God's fear. There's a distaste for wrong. There's a distaste for evil. There's a hatred for evil. Not that you hate people that are involved in evil. You don't desire the things that they're doing because there's a distaste for it. And that comes from a godly fear. That's not attracted. We're not attracted to the things of the world. We're not attracted to the things that cause us to be proud. That comes a little closer home because we can be very subtle. We can be tempted to buy and purchase things that lift us up a little bit. But the godly fear keeps that in check. And there's times that when we are ready to purchase something and we think about what it's going to do to us and what it's, what for name it's going to make for us, and we abstain from that because of that. It's because of godly fear. And there's times that we need to do that. There's times maybe the thing in itself is nothing wrong with, but we say, you know what? It will not be good for me and my family to purchase this because it'll lift us up and we'll struggle with pride. And that comes from godly fear. It's a reverence for God's word. It's what he talks about. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 14, 26. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Again, there's security, there's safety, there's fruitful living with this fear of God. Proverbs 15, 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. The fear of God just decreases a lot of stress, a lot of issues in life, that a lot of trouble that cause a lot of stress when we have godly fear. Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It causes us to turn away from evil when we have godly fear. Proverbs 19, 23. You know, I could look at many verses. There's over 300 verses in the Bible that talk about godly fear and how we're to have the fear of God in our heart and our experience. And I'm not going to near look at all of them. But Proverbs 19, 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. It talks again about just having that rest, and it removes the consequences of evil, the heartache of evil, and the sorrow that and the frustration of evil, and when we have that godly fear, you know, it's so important that we do have this godly fear. I just want to look at a few verses in the New Testament, talk about what godly fear does for the church. A lot of verses that we talk about godly fear somewhat are related in a personal way. Here in Philippians 2, verse 9, I just want to read verses 9 through 16. It just gives us a little picture of what God desires for his people and what we read about Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Talking about Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, that's the basis, that's the foundation, exalting Jesus Christ. That's in church life. That needs to happen in a personal way, needs to happen in a collective way, needs to happen Sunday morning in our worship, that we exalt Jesus Christ and every knee shall bow. And then he says, wherefore, because of this, my brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? With fear and trembling. This is a serious situation. We need to work out our salvation. There's nobody going to be exempt. There's nobody going to escape. Every knee shall bow. And every knee, every mouth will confess that Jesus is Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be what? May be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Isn't it awesome to be a child of the King, the Son of God, our Creator God? And he says, I want you to be blameless and harmless. As we live in this wicked generation, this wicked world, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, we talked about this morning in devotions about being light of the world. How we live, our relationships, and so on. And this all takes place because we have a godly fear. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is a serious calling. We cannot take this casually. We cannot take this in passing. We need to make this our life mission, our life goal. This godly fear, actually, in verse 12 it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence. This godly fear will help us to make right choices when nobody's looking. And when there's no authority, there's nobody looking over your shoulder, you're going to remember that there is a God that sees and knows everything that you click on your computer or on your cell phone. God knows. We have accountable to you. It's been very helpful. But I want to remind you that there's a connection with heaven. And Paul's giving commendation to the Philippians because he said, you have obeyed even when I was absent as a church leader. Hebrews 12. He says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God, acceptable with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Godly fear. So what is godly fear? It's hard to define. There's different definitions that you could come up with, and probably each one of them is right. But I just want to make it broaden out a little bit. It's an ongoing attitude that God wants to have in our hearts and our souls, awareness that I'm accountable to Him. It's not something that maybe this morning, because of the preaching of God's word and because in the presence of God's people, maybe there's a measure of godly fear, but God wants to plant that in your heart, that when you leave here, that there's awareness of Him as you leave and live at home and wherever you are. It's an ongoing awareness, ongoing attitude that we're in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God, and that every thought and every word and every action indeed is open before Him and will be judged by Him. He says that we will give an account for every word that we speak. Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill the body. There's an inherent thing that we have. I told you that I do not believe that we inherit godly fear. I don't believe it's something that just comes along with our nature. But there is something that comes along with our nature, and that is our fear of man. There's something about that. We are so worried about what people think of us. And how people view us and so on. And God, Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill the body. Don't fear those that make those judgments about you. Fear me. Fear me as your heavenly Father, your Creator, the one that will judge all the earth. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. God knows who we are. He knows us this morning. Jeremiah 16:17 says, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. There's nothing secret with God. 2 Corinthians 5. It says, we will all appear before the judgment seat. I just want to read those verses. 2 Corinthians 5. For we must all appear, verse 10, before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So, again, just a reminder that we will answer before God. There's two types of fear, you could maybe say, about godly fear. I don't want to spend much time on this, but we have a little bit of an insight on that in Matthew 25, that verse 24, it says, "And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast thine, that is thine." Talking about the man that was given that talent, and he said, "I was fearful of you, and so I hid my talent." And that was an unproductive fear. It was a fear of failure. And sometimes we struggle with that. We feel like, well, we can't get it right, and so we're paralyzed, and we just hunker down, and we do nothing. And that's not God's will. Faith would have caused this man to take a step and would have used the talent that God gave him. And he was fearful of failure. And actually, it's pride when we fear failure. We fear to step out and follow what God has called us to do. Maybe it's a calling of responsibility, and we have this fear, and it paralyzes us. Well, God wants us to have a godly fear, a proper fear of Him. And I just want to illustrate this with this scale I have here. There's a scale I got from Bangladesh one time. That goes to Bangladesh. I forget. Is it Donald Eby? I guess it is. Sorry about that. I asked him to get a scale for me, and he picked that up and brought it back for me. And I want to use that as illustration this morning, and how it's important that we have the balance of God's fear, our godly fear in our life. And we need to look at, in order to have this balance, we need to see God's attributes. And I want to look at six attributes of God, and there's more attributes of God, but I'm just going to look at six of them. And one of the ones that we have is God's power. And as we look at God's power, And you look, you read through God, the Word of God, and you see the power of God. And just a few illustrations is the burning bush. When Moses was out in the desert and he saw this bush burning and it didn't burn up, he went over to look at it, and there's a voice told him, he says, "Take off your feet, you're on holy ground." But he saw the power of God, and it was in awe. And you have the children of Israel walking through the on dry ground. You see God's power. You see God coming down on Mount Sinai, and it shook the mountain. And then you have Jesus walking on the water, and you just see the power of God. And then he actually enabled Peter to walk on the water. And you see God's power, and you like marvel at God's power. And it actually can cause a bit of fear of God's power, because you realize and you read about what may happen in the future, what will happen in the future, of what's going to happen to this earth. And as God demonstrates His power, and He demonstrates His power every day of our life, but there's things that will happen that will cause men to fear. And then you have God's holiness. And again, Moses stood on holy ground. He took his shoes off. You have Aaron, the preparation that Aaron needed to go through in order to enter into the holies of holies. And I just read that recently, and it's amazing what God required Aaron to go through in order to prepare him to enter into the holies of holies. And God is so holy that man cannot look upon Him. And you look at God's holiness, and then God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And there's something that I'm like, how can I be holy? And God, you're so holy, I can't even look upon you. God's holiness, one of His attributes, and it causes fear in my heart. And then you have God's justice, and you have that on this scale. And Moses, being a great leader as he was, and all the good that he did, but he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, because he smote the rock when he was to speak to the rock. And you see God's justice, and you're like, God, how can I make it to heaven? You have Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. The earth opens up and swallows them up. You have Israel for 40 years in the desert because they rejected and didn't trust God. Then you have this ark being pulled by, or carried, pulled, I guess it was pulled on a cart, and going over some rough terrain, and it looked like it's going to fall off the cart, and you have Uzzah just touching it to keep it from falling, and it's smote dead. Died. And you see God's justice. How can I attain? You have Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament being deceitful, not being honest. And they were smoten. How can I have godly fear? You see God's power, His holiness, and His justice. And if you just focus on that alone, you could be a miserable person. Because God is powerful, He is holy, and He's just. But then there's a balance to this, and you have God's loving kindness, and God, when God spoke to Moses, and Moses saw that burning bush, God said, I heard the cry of my people in Egypt. I heard them crying. I care about your people. I want you to deliver them. And He made a way through the wilderness for His people. He put a cloud before them and a fire behind them. In the New Testament, God sent Jesus Christ for our salvation. In the Old Testament, He gave Moses the law in order to help His people be accepted by Him. And when they followed His law, they were accepted by God. And then you see God's loving kindness. And you have Peter walking underwater. Jesus gave him the power to walk underwater. And as Peter began to sink in those boisterous waves, He reached down and pulled him up and saved him. That's God's loving kindness. And when you balance God's loving kindness with His power, there's a balance there. It begins to make sense. We're talking about godly fear. Then you think of God's holiness. And what do we balance God's holiness with? We balance it with God's grace. His provision. He says, I will provide, He told the children of Israel, I will provide you with a land of milk and honey. I will meet all your needs. You're going to be blessed. Then you have that veil that was rent when Jesus died on the cross. And He says, now you can enter in the holies of holies. He says, I will give you grace. I will give you the Holy Spirit. If you choose to worship me and obey me and serve me apart from the world, you can actually experience holiness. And that's how God says, He says, be ye holy for I am holy. But He says, as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we have the Holy Spirit within us and we make right choices in life, we actually become holy to the Lord through His grace, through His power, His provision of grace. Then you have God's justice, and that's balanced out with mercy. And you have God's mercy. God desires that all men would be saved. Every person here this morning, He desires to experience salvation. There's nobody here that is too bad to experience salvation. He desires that all men would be saved. You know, and I look at Jesus and His disciples and His relationship with His disciples and the patience that He had with them. And the love that He had for His disciples. The love that He had for Judas. The love that He had for the thief on the cross. He said, I will remember you. You will be with me. God's mercy. He says he's touched with our infirmities. He's tempted in all points as we are. He was tempted at all points as we are. You see how that balances out? And when we have fear, we have fear of God's power and his justice and holiness, and we have faith in God's loving kindness and his grace and mercy, we can have a balanced fear of God. Because God never changes. I can't remove God's holiness and say, we don't need holiness today. God never changes. God is always a holy God. He's always a just God, and he is a God of justice and a God of power. But he's also a God of loving kindness. I can't remove God's loving kindness. So we need to have faith in God's loving kindness and his grace and mercy, and we need to have fear of God's power and holiness and justice. And that's why it's important that we are people that read the Bible, because this is the balance. Many people just want to read the New Testament. And I'm all right with the New Testament. We need the New Testament. But you know what? When you read the Old Testament, you discover God is a powerful God. He's a just God. And he's a holy God. And that's why it's important that we read the whole Bible. I was blessed at the end of the year when we had the Bible reading schedules out. A number of them were picked up. And I trust that you're reading the Bible and reading it through, because it gives you a balanced perspective of God. And because when I read God's justice and how he dealt with some of the wickedness that went on in the Old Testament, even in the flood, and how he destroyed the earth, it helps me become aware that we're accountable to God. It's not only about love. It's not only about Jesus. Yes, it is all about Jesus. But you understand what I'm talking about? We need to have a godly fear and a balance of godly fear. And when we have fear of God's power and holiness and justice, we can have a balance. Now, we're human enough that there's times in life that this gets a little bit like this. We are human. We're frail. And sometimes we struggle, and we feel like, just like what that scale's doing, going up and down. Don't give up. God loves us, and he knows us. He knows that we are. Psalm 103 brings that out. And we grow in our love and our balance of godly fear. And about the time you think you have it together, there's something will happen in your life, and you'll get a little bit like this. And God understands that. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. God remembers that. God understands that. But don't give up. But we dare not start removing God's power. There's a lot of people today, there's a lot of preachers today that will talk about God's loving kindness, his mercy, and they'll start removing God's power. They'll start removing God's holiness and his justice. And they'll say, well, God is too much of a loving God to put people in hell. Let's stick to the word. This is the word. The Bible says that there is a hell. But when we, in a personal way, when we forget about God's justice, when we forget about God's holiness, we begin to be comfortable with sin. And I just want to remind us that, you know, that's so easy for us to begin to compromise and lower our standards because of the atmosphere that we live in, the world we live in. But God's holiness does not change. God's standard of holiness is the same today as it was yesterday. Whether the world changes holiness or not, God's standard is the same. And we need to remember that. Well, in closing, I want to read Malachi 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. You know, brothers and sisters, that's a beautiful verses to those that fear God. There's a fear that evil men have, and that's a fear of getting caught. And I think most of us know what that is. Fear of being found out. Fear of getting caught. Fear of being made known. This godly fear, when we have a godly fear, we live a transparent life. And we don't live in this fear that we're going to get caught or that we're going to get exposed. And that's what he's talking about. He's saying, them that feared the Lord spake often one to another. There's a relationship here this morning. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. But it's nothing to be ashamed of in this book if we have a godly fear. May God bless you as you grow in your godly fear and as you endeavor to have a balanced concept of God's attributes, because God does desire to save all mankind, but he is not going to compromise on his holiness. God bless. Let's kneel for prayer.